Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-578-0092, or on Twitter, at CLE Talking Heads. We're going to go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now, especially to get some good information on what happened with J.J. Watt, and we're going to bring in a friend of the show, Charles Robinson, from Yahoo Sports. Charles, how are you doing today? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I'm happy to talk about J.J. Watt and dispel some of the BS that's out there right now.
Hey, nice. Charles, before we get into that, I do want to talk to you about Therese Paylor, who, you know, was a friend of our show as well, and, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody. But, I mean, you know him as well as anybody, and, you know, you worked with him for a while. Just, you know, how are you doing, and, you know, what's going on? I've heard some really, really thoughtful things are going into the future for Therese and when it comes to, like, scholarships and stuff like that, and I know you've got a special coming up as well.
Yeah, we're going to do a podcast, just kind of a tribute podcast where, you know, myself, our producer Brett Rader, our national columnist Dan Wetzel, and then our NFL editor Al Toby, we're going to put together a little bit of a tribute podcast, just kind of talking about Therese, you know, what he meant to sort of the family that we became the last few years, and, you know, tell some funny stories that maybe people haven't heard, you know, things that I think we felt, you know, we weren't sure we wanted to share them, but now I think, you know, we've gotten to this point where I feel like a lot of people really would like to, you know, just hear about him, talk about him. And it's been a tough loss. You know, Dan Wetzel and I actually went to his services last week. It was a beautiful service. I think one of the things you kind of walked away from, you know, the Reverend said that I thought was really poignant was, you know, he passes away at 37 years old, but it was a very significant 37 years. He'd achieved really his dreams. Kid comes out of Detroit, you know, goes to Howard University, wanted to be a national NFL writer, covered preps for a while at the Kansas City Star, covered the Chiefs, elevated himself up to a national NFL writer position. And I know, you know, just speaking to him the day before he passed, you know, he really felt he was in a great place, and very difficult for obviously his fiance Ebony and, you know, his parents, Sherman and Ava, but gotten a chance to know his parents in particular much better over the last couple of weeks. And I can only say that it's going to be a tough loss now, but also a tough loss for, you know, the next 10, 20 years, because this was someone that I think really carried a lot of influence into the future years in those Hall of Fame meetings. You know, I think he's a guy who probably would have eventually earned like an All Pro vote, an MVP vote, those kinds of things. And it's tough to lose that perspective nationally. Obviously, you guys know him. He's been a regular on your show for a couple of years now, and you know, just big infectious personality, the laugh, everything that he brought to the table really endeared him to a lot of people. And I think that was only going to, you know, get bigger and better as the years went on.
Thank you for those thoughts, and we appreciate you sharing them, Charles, very much so. You were all over the
base meant a lot to him. I want people to know that. Like, it was one thing that we talked about, you know, on the podcast is, we have a very, you know, heavy Kansas City influence because, you know, Therese obviously is a beat writer for a number of years. You know, but I know that if you asked us to kind of rank the, you know, top five fan bases that really check in with the podcast, I mean, Cleveland's in that top five. You know, it was a team we really enjoyed talking about, particularly as the regime change has kind of taken place. I think I would even say more than any other team in the NFL in 2020, we probably enjoyed watching Cleveland season as much as any other team that we talked about on the podcast, because we really feel like I know we both know people in that organization that we really think a lot of, and we've really liked seeing that turnaround. And Therese and I both having some roots in Detroit, you know, Cleveland, Detroit are tied. They're just two Midwest cities that reflect each other in a lot of ways. And so to see Cleveland's franchise pull itself out of, you know, that tailspin and the gratification of fans, I think that meant a lot to both Therese and I. So we do greatly appreciate everything that the Browns fans added to the podcast experience over the last couple of years.
Thanks for sharing that. We appreciate that. When let's talk football. When J.J. Watt was looking for a team, everybody here thought, okay, could be the Browns. Yeah. Turns out to not be the Packers or the Browns or the Steelers or maybe anywhere else that people thought might be a front runner. Why Arizona? And did the Browns offer a lot of money? Were they active? What was going on there, Charles?
Yeah, I actually think the Browns were the first team to put a deal on the table. You know, when JJ came free from Houston, I think the Browns also were one of the teams. You know, there were a handful of teams also called the Texans about potentially trading for J.J. Watt, and I believe the Browns were also, you know, in that group. But, you know, ultimately the Texans went a different way. I think they kind of felt like, hey, a middle to late round draft pick wasn't something that was in their best interest. They wanted to keep a good relationship with him, so it was just best to, you know, release him and let him go about his free agency tour the way he wanted. You know, I would say the Browns, you know, the Colts, the Titans, the Packers, these were all teams that talked, you know, money, put, you know, offers on the table. But I would also say the Browns were amongst all these other teams that didn't get, you know, close to Arizona's money. And, you know, now that we've had to, you know, everybody's gotten JJ's contract in their hands and really looked at how the money's laid out, it really is a two-year, you know, $28 million deal. I know Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, I think Ian Rappaport's talked about it. You know, it can move to 31 over those 2 years, depending on, you know, sack incentives. But it, look, the Browns and all these other teams were all seeking a similar target here. And that was like, you know, about $12 million. I think, you know, that was sort of the ceiling for teams. They felt like JJ was a $12 million a year player on a 2 year deal. And, the Cardinals exceeded that, you know, an extra $4 million over 2 years and the potential to earn an extra $7 million over 2 years is not insignificant. Arizona's got a decent team. Obviously he's expressed the belief in Kyler Murray, you know, being on the field with a Chandler Jones is going to help him. You know, I think talking to Jonathan Joseph and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, helped him, you know, elevate a level of comfort with that franchise. And NFC West is in a little bit of flux here, but I think the Browns and other teams that approached this did it in the right way. They said, this is really what we feel like he's worth to us, is this $12 million number. Most teams that were chasing after him, aside from the Titans, had that other piece that really, I think, is needed to kind of accentuate J.J. Watt. I think, you know, the Browns felt like Myles Garrett was a guy that, whether, you know, when they played opposite each other and then on certain downs, they could roll J.J. Watt inside, which is how teams were kind of looking at him in a four-man front. You know, he could earn essentially what they were offering him. So this idea that the Browns exceeded, you know, this, whether you want to call it a two-year, you know, $31 million deal or $28 million, whatever you want to call it, I'm telling you right now, that's complete BS. That's not true. I don't know where, you know, it's the Arizona radio guy. He's got his sources. I'm telling you right now, I've talked to multiple teams, and they're not people that lie. These are not liars. They've been very and I talked figures with some of these teams before he chose the Arizona Cardinals. I knew what their targets were. and the Cardinals exceeded that. So do not believe what you are hearing out of Arizona. The Browns did not offer more than the Cardinals. And as a matter of fact, nobody offered more than the Cardinals in amongst the Packers, the Titans, the Colts, the Browns. You know, it's just, I think this is an element of when those numbers got out there and everyone was kind of surprised by it. You know, people, you don't want to seem like you were maybe bidding against yourself. And so, you know, I think somebody's, and it could be even JJ's agents having played the hand that they played to get the numbers where they needed it, you know, had to make sure that the message was out there. Well, all these other teams were closer. Technically, they were close to the $14 million. You know, if that's your legitimate sort of number for the next 2 years, you're within $2 million a year. That's not a Grand Canyon kind of divide, but this idea that the Browns exceeded, you know, what the Cardinals did and were turned down is just BS. That didn't happen.
Huh. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The interesting perspective from here is, one, once it was over, I don't know that Browns fans went the Browns fans aren't over the top like, oh, my God, he didn't come here. And that's
kind of
a change for us because, you know, in the past, the Browns just, like, never even were in the hunt for any free agent. So is there anything you can take from it as a Browns fan just going, hey, you were in it, you didn't win it, but at least it wasn't like he, like, said, bah, there's no way I'm going to Cleveland, right? But we were in the hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was not a situation where, you know, there was no consideration. Like, I mean, these were serious talks. I mean, it was, you know, and you had his representation that said, hey, you need to come to the table of at least 14, told a number of teams this, and it wasn't going to happen. But, no, I mean, the Browns, I think fans can take heart in a couple of things. Number one, it is – they what they did in 2020, I think, is legitimate in the eyes of players who – are seeing them as, hey, you know, this is a playoff caliber team. It's a good staff. They've gotten things turned in the right direction. It's not an automatic no. You consider it. You think about it. And so that's number one. I think that's important. Number two, I think fans should take heart that the Browns figured out what their value was on him and decided this is what our value is, and we're not going to blow it out. We're not going to get into a bidding war for a 32-year-old you know, defensive free agent who hasn't had double-digit sacks in a heck of a long time, has not been a defensive, you know, MVP caliber player in a while. And that, you know, it was thoughtful. The idea of, you know, bringing him in the fold with a Myles Garrett, how you could use him defensively in terms of whether he's on the end or rolling him in, inside at times on certain downs, you know, take heart in that. And then you know, I think number three, fans got a glimpse now into the offseason plan for the Browns, because now this is back-to-back years. You know, look, the Browns got involved with Jadeveon Clowney. They were interested there. They had a number there with Clowney, you know, did not work out, but they also were not going to blow it out for Jadeveon Clowney either. And, you know, they said, hey, look, you know, this is our number, and if he's not going to take it, he's not interested. We're going to move on. They worked things out with Olivier Vernon. That worked out well. And, you know, Clowney was – it did not work out, you know, with the Titans and Clowney. But now you've kind of seen in last year's offseason and now this year's offseason, you're seeing the Browns target another pass-rushing piece, I think, to fit in with Myles Garrett. Clearly that defensive front, I think you can say, is a priority for the Browns. And, you know, maybe that's a defensive tackle that can create pressure inside. Maybe it's another end to stick opposite Myles Garrett. But you can see what they're trying to address now, getting involved with Watt immediately and kind of staying in the thick of it. So that's one thing that I think Browns fans should keep an eye on, you know, where they're going with some of these defensive pieces. And I'll say one thing, too. I've talked to people in the Titans organization. What's interesting is after things didn't work out with the Browns and Clowney and, you know, Clowney and a number of other teams, just talking to Titans and kind of getting a feel for how they felt about Clowney's season, they weren't thrilled about it, but they didn't, you know, people aren't killing him in that organization. So it's going to be interesting to me to see if he doesn't end up back in Tennessee, whether he could factor in again with Cleveland or maybe some of these other teams, because I really thought the Titans just be beside themselves, upset over that not working out. I didn't sense that as much. Like, it was a disappointment. I think they were definitely bummed that it didn't work out, but I think that they still feel like some of the things that led them to sign Clowney last offseason are still there. And that makes me wonder if the evaluation of some of these other teams that were interested in him may take a second poke if he hits the market.
It's funny, Charles, you mentioned him because I brought him up the other day. I would think he'd be more affordable. I can't imagine that he would get the same dollars, and he's still only, what, 28 years old. I would think he'd be a really interesting guy for the Browns to go get.
If he's healthy and he's in shape, I don't think he's this just mega, you know, I think some people are like, well, he's just this mega bust player. Like, it's been, you know, we've been waiting forever for him to achieve, you know, the huge, you know, defensive player of the year caliber season, or, you know, people don't want to hear that, you know, when he's at the top of his game, he's, you know, a great point of attack player against the run. Here's what happened in Tennessee with him. He came in, he wasn't in the greatest shape. I think he freelanced a little too much inside the scheme because he was trying too much. You know, I think he felt some pressure to produce there. Really wanted to produce, and I think he freelanced a little bit. And then, you know, his health obviously broke down, which isn't great. None of those things are great, but I didn't hear cancer in the locker room. I didn't hear any of that stuff. I just, you know, just heard like, hey, it was – he pressed. It didn't work out. Wasn't a great season. And one guy that I would point out is, remember, there was a time when Olivier Vernon looked like, you know, a lost cause in Cleveland, right? I mean, like, there was just sort of like, hey, he's not living up to it. Man, the salary cap number is so huge, and you just got to move on from him. You got to cut him. The Browns figured out a way to get the reduced salary done. He bought into the program as the season moved on, and it became a very fruitful relationship between those two. I think that's something that could still happen in Jadeveon Clowney's career with the right team. It's just getting into the right team. And another thing about Clowney that I will say, I think it would be great for him and then great for the other Myles Garrett type of player if he was in a room with a guy like that and they had a chance to kind of competitively play off of each other. I know people say, well, when he was in Houston, he peaked out when J.J. Watt wasn't necessarily on the field. I can just tell you that I think having someone else in that room with Clowney competitively, you know, can bring something out of him, and that didn't happen in Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee, you know, they took a stab with Vic Beasley, and that was even worse than the Clowney situation. So if it was me, you know, and obviously I don't run the Browns, but, you know, if that price is modest, you know, if it comes down and he's a value buy, I wouldn't have any issue with the Browns, you know, taking a leap on him on a short-term, you know, contract and hoping that they could, you know, get some traction with him in the room with Myles Garrett and the ability to sort of tinker with him inside that defense.
Hmm. Charles, again, remind us about the podcast tonight.
Yes, please. We're going to shoot a Terrez Paylor tribute podcast. I think we're going to shoot it later today. I believe it'll go up probably tomorrow at some point. And again, thank you to all the fans. You know, we had some Cleveland fans check in. There's a scholarship out there that the Wall Street Journal, Kansas City Star, and Yahoo were all co-funding it, Howard University for journalism students. Terrez Paylor had the All Juice team annually. We're Pete Thamel, Eric Edholm, and I are going to tap our NFL sources to put together his All Juice team in honor of him at least this year and maybe annually. And we're selling some All Juice team hoodies and like t-shirts, and all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, go to the scholarship fund. So I can tell you that I know Terrez, you know, came on the show. Cleveland fans meant a lot to him, you know, being a Detroit guy. I think he felt a kinship to Browns fans. And if for the Browns fans who listened in 2020, I think that probably came through that he understood Browns fans. Having grown up a Lions fan, I think he understood Browns fans a way that maybe a lot of other NFL fans don't.
Yeah, and we always love talking to him. Charles, thank you. Can't wait to have you back on again. Appreciate it. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you, Charles.
Absolutely. Call me anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we will talk to you soon. Charles Robinson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.